Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom. Dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. Midwestern America has forged, from its Chicago melting pot of many nationalities, some of the most sensational athletes in sports history. And in the past decade, one such athlete, Chicago-born and bred and a product of its public high schools, has become known intimately to millions of spectators across the nation as one of the greatest performers of his generation. He is the former University of Illinois track and football star, Claude Buddy Young, about whom we hear in today's chapter entitled, The Buddy Young Story.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you tuned in late, we're bringing you the final game of the professional season. Professional All-Stars versus the champion Cleveland Browns here in Houston. Buddy Young of the Yankees is playing halfback for the All-Stars, and it's been his zigzag running that's carried the All-Stars up to now. There's just 30 seconds left in the first half, and the game's tied up 6-6. There they come, out of the huddle now, up the line of scrimmage. The All-Stars ball back on their own 10-yard line. Buddy Young receiving. Young's got the ball. The Browns are really breaking through that line. It looks as if Young's trapped. Now he's dropping back, back. He's right back on his own goal line. Hunter, and he's sweeping toward the left end. He cuts through. He's up to the 15, the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50. Taxes are dropping all around him. He's at the 45. He's in the clear now. He's in the clear. He's down to the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10. He's over. Touchdown. 100 yards for a touchdown. The All-Stars lead 12-6. There's the gun. The first half is over and the All-Stars lead. Listen to that man, the crowd giving Young. Listen to it, will you? Well, sir, we've made arrangements to have some of the people from Chicago who've been closely associated with Buddy Young's sports career and are down here to see the game come up to our booth for a between the halves interview. Just as here they are now. Close the door there, will you, Jack? You, sir, would you mind telling me your name, please?
Yes. My name's Robinson, Bobby Robinson.
What do you know about the star of the game so far?
Well, just what the opposing team knows. He's a hard kid to stop.
Well, how'd you find that out?
Well, I almost killed him.
Huh?
Yes, about 10 years ago in Chicago, I was driving home from work, driving down 63rd Street. And suddenly a kid shot out from the curb right in front of me. I tried to stop, but I slid in on him. I knocked him up on the sidewalk. Before I got out, a gang of kids had gathered around. They looked at me as though they were going to tear my head off. I could see I'd hit the gang's favorite. I stooped down and tried to examine him. He was lying on his face. I tried to turn him over.
Leave him alone. Don't touch him.
Oh. Somebody rapped me across the shoulders with a stick. I looked up and saw a girl.
You've done enough. You leave him alone.
Well, I'm trying to help him.
You're hurting him.
Oh, now, listen now. If he's hurt, I'll take him to a hospital.
If he's hurt, you'll need the hospital, mister.
That's right.
She was like a little tigress, and the cubs in the gang were ready to claw me. Then the boy I'd hit turned his head.
Say, hey, look, Buddy's moving. Oh,
thank heaven.
Hey, Buddy.
He was coming around. He turned his head, and I was looking into her face. The exact image of the little tigress above me. Say, is
he's my brother.
Twin?
Yeah. Buddy? Buddy, you all right?
Yeah. Sure. What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, you ran out in front of my car, son. Oh, come on, kid. Let me help you up. There we are. There.
Car? What car? Ow,
he's hurt.
Hey, Buddy, you want us to crack this guy's skull?
Oh, now, look, kid. He's just as healthy as he used to be.
Well, I don't know about that. He looks funny.
He was the fastest runner on 63rd.
Yeah, and the best baseball player.
Oh, I tell you, he's not hurt. You say he was your best baseball player. Yeah. I say he still is.
How do you know?
Well, try him and see. Go on, try him.
Okay. Come on over to the log, Buddy. Hey, Luther,
huh?
You go get the bat and the ball and bring them over.
Oh, okay. Sure. Go on, play ball. It's a lot healthier anyway. Go on, kid.
Sure, mister. Huh? Where do you think you're going?
Oh, now, see here.
Wait. Well, just hold you two. We'll see if there's anything wrong.
Hey, right. Hey, now, look, don't shove. Wait now. I'm coming.
Hey, Luther, you got that bat?
Yeah.
Okay, bring it over.
Hey, buddy.
They took me over to a vacant lot and put a bat in this kid's hand. They pegged the ball around for a while to warm up and then pitched one at this kid. He took a terrific cut at it and missed by a mile. A kid with an extra baseball bat looked longingly at my head. I could see it coming. If this kid kept missing the ball, they'd take it as a guarantee something was wrong. He missed again. Then he dropped the bat and rubbed his hands in the dirt. He picked it up, got back up to the plate. His twin pitched it. And he slapped out a line drive. And another, and another. As fast as the ball got back up to the plate. Why, if there was anything wrong with him, you'd never tell it. Well, I could have gone on, but I hung around and drove him home. Got to know the family and started taking him to see the big games. Well, by the time he was ready for high school, the kid and I were very close. I drove him over to Englewood High and introduced him to an old friend of mine, the football coach.
Sure, we're old friends, Robinson, but what do you expect me to do with this kid?
Well, put him on the team.
What team?
Any team.
All right, what can he do?
Anything. Anything you've got, from baseball to track to football.
I've heard that before. You must be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Put the kid on the team and see. He's a natural. A real natural athlete. And that's how I happened to meet the kid who made that touchdown out there.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson, for that story of how you met Buddy Young. Now, folks, we're moving along to another gentleman in our between halves interview of Buddy Young's friend. Are you from Chicago, too, sir?
Yes.
And who are you, please?
I'm the coach at Englewood High.
Oh, yes, indeed. As the coach of that great high school, do you want to say a word or two about your contact with Buddy Young?
Well, my advice to all coaches is never overlook a man under 6 feet tall.
And how did you arrive at that conclusion?
Simple arithmetic. This kid, Buddy, had registered at my school. Naturally, being a coach, I considered myself somewhat of an authority on picking athletes. I could tell by the way he walked, he was used to being cheered. He wasn't cocky, just too confident. I knew the type. I'd seen him before. I could even tell he was from a big family, and that poverty was his playmate. So I had a sympathetic ear. There was one thing my eyes couldn't sympathize with.
What's that, sir?
Your weight.
Huh?
You don't want to try for the football team. You don't weigh 140 pounds.
Does the weight count so much?
You'll need weight to hit that line. Kid, football's a big man's game. How tall are you?
5'3".
Have mercy on me.
What's the matter?
Kid, do you want me sent up for murder? 5'3". They'll mistake you for the football.
I don't think so. Nobody's been able to kick me around so far.
Yeah, you've been lucky. Stay out of football and you'll live to tell about it. Buddy, look, you're doing nicely on the track team. The track coach was telling me that this morning. But 5 feet, 3 inches and 135 pounds would be buried on the football team. And I do mean buried. Now, go on back to your class. You're holding me up. Go on now. He went on. I couldn't help laughing at the thought. 5'3", 135 pounds. Of all the nerves.
Go on, Coach. Then what happened?
That, mister, was the last time I ever laughed at Buddy Young.
Was that the last time you saw him?
Unfortunately, it wasn't. I saw him 2 years later.
Huh?
He made 5 touchdowns that day, only he wasn't on my team. He was playing with my opponent, Wendell Phillips High School. Can you understand my advice to coaches now?
Thoroughly. How did he get over to Phillips?
Well, this is the Wendell Phillips coach sitting next to me. Ask him. He knows.
Well, fine. You, sir, how about telling our audience your part of the story?
When I was track coach at Phillips, I was on the field one day in 1941 when a rather small, shortish kid who'd just transferred from Englewood came up to me and said he wanted to play football. I took him off the field and into my office. Down.
Thank you.
You, sure you want to play football?
You have any objections?
Well...
Oh, all right, go on, say it. You think I'm too small?
Too small?
Sure, I've heard it before.
Sit back down there, young man, and listen to me.
Yes, sir.
You can make the team. You're on. We'll let our opponents worry about your height. The best man we've got on the team's no larger than you are.
Thanks.
But what I wanted to ask you to do...
Yeah?
This is track season, and your record looks pretty good. Now, how about trying the track team until the football season rolls around, huh?
Well,
he tried it. He handled it as though he was born to it. He took to the 60-yard dash, the 100-yard dash, the high hurdles, the low hurdles. He was hot on the heels of the city records and getting closer at every meet. Newspapers were beginning to pay attention. The kid was on his way. No mistake about it. He was in as one of the top high school sprinters in Illinois if he got by the state track meet. Well, naturally, I was a little nervous when the meet opened. But he didn't show up until almost time for the dash.
Am I too late, Coach?
I don't know. Get your togs on and warm up. We'll see how you feel.
I feel fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was his competitors who had to worry.
Hit your mark.
He was down on the mark when the starter called.
Set!
I saw him lean forward slightly, and I knew he was about to throw all his power behind his drive. His starting block shot back. He dashed off like a colt, flew ahead of the field. Then he staggered, and he dropped like he'd been shot. He tumbled over the ground, bent double in pain. I ran to him. Hey, buddy, what is it?
What's
hey, somebody help me with him. He's hurt. Help me.
What's the matter here?
I don't know.
Get his head.
I don't know what's the matter. Help me get him into the dressing room. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, help me.
Side, right,
help
me.
Let us through, please.
Let us through, please.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Please, let us through.
We got him inside the field house, stripped him, laid him flat on his back, and he came to.
What happened?
Easy now. Easy. Let the doctor go over you. He'll tell you in a minute. Doc?
I can't tell yet. How do you feel, son?
Like this, I feel okay. Something hit me like a knife. Like something was torn inside me.
No, not that easy.
Uh-huh. I think that's exactly what happened.
What?
Well, he's had what they call splinter's fracture.
What's that? What's that, Doc? Will it stop me from running?
Well, I don't know yet. Now, see if you can stand up now.
Oh, sure. Sure, I can stand up.
Yeah, you feel no pain just standing up?
No, sir.
Yeah, just a minute. Now, walk forward.
Toward you?
Yes, yes. Come on. Take a step.
I'm trying.
Try harder. Come on.
Doc, I'm trying, but I can't. I can't move. I can't. I'm paralyzed. I can't move.
No. Easy.
Doc,
easy now. Relax. Just relax a second. Now, try to move backwards.
Backwards? If I can't move forward, I'm...
Go on. Try.
The kid is 1 foot behind the other. Pulled the other back. Did it again. Again. And he was walking all around the room with ease. But backwards.
Hey, look. Look, Doc. Doesn't hurt either. It's easy this way. Maybe that's all I needed, just to limber up. Maybe if I started forward like this, I can't move forward. Can't.
What is it? What's the matter, Doc?
I think the muscle's been torn loose from the pelvic bone.
How did that happen?
He's got a lot of power in his body. His muscles must have been cold when he started to sprint. They were just so contracted that when he threw his power into the drive, he tore his muscles off the bone.
Can he do anything?
Oh, yes, yes. He'll be able to walk again.
Walk, sure, but will he run again? That's what's eating his heart, huh? Will he run again?
I don't know yet, Coach. I don't know.
Then, after a complete examination, the doctor has told him...
Look, buddy, if surgery is used, it's certain you'll be walking forward in a short while.
When'll I be able to run again?
You probably won't be able to do any sprinting.
Is there any other choice?
Yes. We could get the muscles to reattach themselves to their pivot base in a natural manner.
You know, I want to try to get an athletic scholarship to college. Would what you're talking about help me run again?
It's possible.
Try it.
Very well. Now,
Now, look, I'm going to put you to bed, buddy, and I don't want you out until I say so. I'm going to fix your left leg in a position at right angles with your body. That way, the muscles will rest freely on the bone.
How long is this going to take?
Oh, may take 6-7 weeks.
7 weeks? Oh. When the last week marched off, the doctor uncrooked that left leg from the right angle, straightened it, and looked him over.
How do you feel?
Fine. Fine.
Hey, feel like trying that muscle?
Sure, Doc.
Yeah, good, good. I'll help you to the floor. There now. Stand over here.
Yeah?
First walk backwards, you think.
Okay. Oh, this is easy.
All right, now. That's enough going backwards. Now, step forward.
Forward.
Take a step.
He stood dead still for a second. Then timidly, slowly, he thrust one foot up. And he took a step. He took another, another, another. He was walking around the room. Walking only for the joy of feeling his muscles moving his legs. Hey, well, he sure can walk, Doctor. How about running?
One foot will always be slightly shorter than the other, but if he learns proper body balance, it will hands now.
Well, Coach, how about that football trial?
Huh? Oh, buddy, you're doing well in track.
Yeah, sure, but the track season's over. When I came here, you said
I
could
try. I know. I said that the size of the man didn't make any difference, and it doesn't, but...
Well...
All right. Come on in tomorrow, and I'll take you in to see Lenny Sachs, the football coach.
All right, John. All right. I'll give you a chance. Little sprinters seldom make good football players, but Bob Anderson over at the old-timers' clubs, you're one in a million. So I'd at least give the boys an opportunity to mop up the field with you. The thing you've got is speed. If you learn how to use it, you can run rings around the big boys. All right, try out.
He tried out for the team. He tried his new legs. And at the end of the season, the coach turned him back to me for track. His muscles were back on his bones, and he had
Take
a lightning start. As soon as a pistol cracked, he was gone. In the city indoor meet, he
Take
broke the 60-yard dash record with a 6-3, tied the 60-yard low hurdles in a 7-1, broke the city 100-yard outdoor record in 9-8, and cracked the 220 low hurdle in 22-6. When spring football rolled around, I turned him back to the football coach.
Okay, buddy, this is your year. Every college in the country's got an eye on you after what you did on the track field. Now, see what you can do with this pigskin. And maybe I'll live to have a city championship team before I retire. Get to it. Start at quarterback.
Well, the kid led the team like a general. We ran through team after team, climbed close to the city championship. One day he came by my office on his way out to a game.
Hi, Coach. Where's Mr. Sachs?
Well, he was out watching the basketball team. I'll see if he's back in his office. Just a minute, buddy. Lenny, Buddy Young's here to get you. Lenny?
The coach who had first recognized the dynamite inside the small package that was Buddy Young lay stretched out by his desk, face down. I knew what it meant before I touched him.
Hey, is Mr. Sachs going over the signals with us?
I think Lenny's given his last signals, buddy. He's dead. A weak heart and the strain and excitement of building athletes into scholarship winners had caught up with the coach before we caught up with the championship.
Well, when the school was back to normal, the kid went back to the gridiron. And we took the city championship, all right. Every paper in Chicago put him down as the greatest athlete they'd seen in decades. So, naturally, I come out to the games to follow him up. Just sort of looking over my handiwork. From the day he put on helmet and shoulder pads, north, south, east, or west, I knew he'd pack a stadium.
Thank you, Coach. Well, the teams are still not out on the field yet, folks, so we've got time for a few more interviews with Buddy Young's friends before the start of the second half. Your name, sir?
Elliot. Ray Elliot.
Oh, yes, you're a
football coach, little boy.
Sure.
Well, Buddy got the athletic scholarship he wanted and needed. But when I met him, it was just too hard to believe a little guy his size could handle the six-footers and 220-pounders we'd have on the line.
Yeah, but, Coach, why not try me out and see, huh?
He was as confident as though he weighed a ton, and he had me grinning. Probably just the usual overrated high school stuff. Still, it pays to keep your eyes on these freshmen, so I followed the track meets, and he was fairly floating through competition. The papers picked up every step he took, followed him. I caught him out at the Big Ten conference meet, looked him over again, and stopped to talk to him.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Coach. When's football season start?
You worry about track, kid. By the way, how many events are you entered in here?
Four.
What are you trying to do? Jesse Owens of Ohio is the only man who ever won four events in a single meet.
Would you think of somebody a little nod did it?
I think the guy who did it belonged on my football team, or any team.
Okay, get my uniform ready.
Well, I took a seat near the track to see this overrated kid get what was coming to him. He was just 18 years old, and the best athletes in the country were set for him.
The next event will be the 100-yard dash. The 100-yard dash.
Well, it was a cloudy day, and just before the 100, the cloud burst. A light rain covered the field. I knew about the kid's previous injury, and I started out to warn him off, but they were set.
Take your mark. Set.
He got off like a jackrabbit. Before I could count to 10, it was over. He was across the tape. I knew what the announcer would be before I heard it.
The winner in the 100-yard dash, time 9 7/10 seconds. Buddy Young, Illinois.
Then I saw him go over to the broad jump. Saw him mark off the paces carefully, walk backwards, then suddenly shoot forward. He leaped into the air like a bird. When he came down, you could tell he was ahead of the field.
Jump by Young of Illinois, 22 feet, 10 inches.
And that's where it stood while the Big Ten stars leaped after it. They never reached it. He was two victories ahead and two to go.
Well, Coach, how's it look to you now, huh?
Look, buddy, that's enough. Rain's coming down heavy now. One slip and you might tear that muscle again. Two is enough, huh?
The next event, the 220-yard dash.
That's just the beginning, Coach. Just the beginning.
Hey, buddy, buddy! Well, he was on the mark before I could get there. Six athletes shot out together, and I saw this kid edging out in front until he was 6 yards in the lead and over the finish. I couldn't stop him now. Nobody could. He was warming up before the last race, the 220-yard low hurdle. Three victories behind him and one to go to tie one of the greatest feats ever accomplished on the track field, the Owens record.
The next event, the 220 low hurdle. The 220 low hurdle.
The kid was out there on his mark, almost before the loudspeaker stopped squawking. He sprang out ahead and skimmed over the hurdles. In 6 seconds, he was out in front. 4, 5, 7 yards ahead of the second man. He had victory in his hands. 4 wins in 1 day. I saw him leap towards the last hurdle, and then it happened. He tripped over the last hurdle, fell tumbled down in the water. The other runners just shot by him. It was close. He really should have had it. He was a natural sprinter, one of the best in any country. But a natural sprinter isn't always a natural football player. He was only 5 feet, 4 inches tall, only weighed 155 pounds. I had to put him on my scruff team. I told him I had a place on my second string team.
I'll take it.
It's quite a come down from what you've been doing in high school. A kid, when they hit you in college with 220 pounds, you stay hit. Take it easy in football, and next year, you'll be able to break every sprint record on the books.
Sure. Sure, Coach.
I knew he'd have a hard time holding himself in, so I only played him in scrimmages. I didn't know how to measure him until that game up at Great Lakes. I threw him in just for practice, just so he'd stop warming the bench. The game wasn't important. We were outweighed and outclassed by the Navy boys. But Young didn't seem to know it. He just breezed through 2 touchdowns. When he did it the third time, I was convinced.
Hey, nice going, buddy. Nice going,
You call me coach?
Yes.
I do something wrong?
No, not you, kid. Me. I've been judging a man by size, not by ability. You're all man, all right. Report for scrimmage tomorrow with a first team.
Well, that was it. He went on to tie Red Grange's record of 13 touchdowns in one season, to spark plug Illinois into the Rose Bowl game in California in 1946, to become one of the top football players in the Navy during the war. And now, 5'4", 170-pounder, with one of the best records in professional football. And that's why I come out here to watch him run. I guess that's why thousands of football fans every weekend come out to watch him. He made it the hard way, like a champion.
Well, thank you, sir. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before the half begins, I've called down to the All-Stars dressing room and got another guest out here. The player we're talking about, here he is in person, Claude Buddy Young. Buddy.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that game and the story. The main part of my story is still unfinished. It's still ahead of me. But those touchdowns and track records, I'd like to tell you who's responsible for them. The coaches at the public schools and in the Navy and at the universities I attended deserve the credit for their skill in molding something out of the clumsy clay they had to work with. But those coaches are not the only ones who had something to do with my making. The real molders are the thousands of friends, close and casual, whose interest and concern has inspired this athlete to try to become one of the best in Illinois. To those friends, Bobby Anderson, Fred Bird, Luther Brown, Mrs. Bousfield, Dewey Cook, Dr. Hasbrock, Sherman Howard, Howard Robinson, Earl Banks, and Paul Patterson, my mother and family, I can see and thank every day. So I want to take this time on Destination Freedom to thank the thousands of people in Illinois who came to the games and sat in the stands and yelled for me while I was out on the field. Those thousands who I heard and saw but never got to know. They are the ones who have taught me to fight for fair play and an end to racial discrimination, not only on the football field, but in all fields. Until next season, goodbye and thank you very much.
Thank you, Buddy Young.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the Buddy Young story. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and directed by Larry Auerbach. The dramatized role of Buddy Young was played by Oscar Brown, Jr. Others in the cast were Fred Pinkard, Russ Reed, Jack Lester, and Weslin Tilden. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. Our technician was Gary DeVlee. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller and Dave Squires. This is Charles Mountain inviting you to join us again next week when Destination Freedom will bring you the story of Captain Kinsey Blewett, director of the busiest police district in the world.